بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. أنا شرف ودار الشيخ حضرة حكيم محمد أخضر صاحب رحمة الله عليه مريض النجي كحاصل میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ در پہ مرنا مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ در پہ مرنا یہ تیری عنایتیں ہیں یہ تیری مدد کا صدقہ میری جان ناتوا کا تیرے غم پہ صبر کرنا یہ تیری عنایتیں ہیں یہ تیری مدد کا صدقہ میری جان ناتوا کا تیرے غم پہ صبر کرنا یہ تیری عطا ہے یا رب یہ تیرا جذب پنہا میرا نالا اے ندامت تیرے سنگ در پہ کرنا یہ تیری عطا ہے یا رب یہ تیرا جذب پنہا میرا نالا اے ندامت تیرے سنگ در پہ کرنا میرا ہر خطا پہ رونا یہی ہے میری تلافی تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم عفو کرنا میرا ہر خطا پہ رونا یہی ہے میری تلافی تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم عفو کرنا تیری شان جذب ہے یہ تیری بندہ پروری ہے میرے جان و دل کا تجھ کو ہم وقت یاد کرنا تیری شان جذب ہے یہ تیری بندہ پروری ہے میرے جان و دل کا تجھ کو ہم وقت یاد کرنا ہے اسی طرح سے ممکن تیری راہ سے گزرنا, کبھی دل پہ صبر کرنا, کبھی دل سے شکر کرنا, ہے اسی طرح سے ممکن تیری راہ سے گزرنا, کبھی دل پہ صبر کرنا, کبھی دل سے شکر کرنا, یہ تیری رضا میں جینا, یہ تیری رضا میں مرنا, میری ابدیت پہ یا رب یہ تیرا فضل کرنا, یہ تیری رضا میں مرنا, یہ تیری رضا میں جینا, یہ تیری رضا میں مرنا, میری ابدیت پہ یا رب یہ تیرا فضل کرنا, یہی عاشقوں کا شیوا, یہی عاشقوں کی عادت, کبھی گل یا او بکا ہے, کبھی آہ سرد برنا, یہی عاشقوں کا شیوا, یہی عاشقوں کی عادت, کبھی گل یا او بکا ہے, کبھی آہ سرد برنا, یہی عشق کی علامت, یہی عشق کی ضمانت, کبھی ذکر ہو زباں سے, کبھی دل میں یاد کرنا, یہی عشق کی علامت, یہی عشق کی ضمانت, کبھی ذکر ہو زباں سے, کبھی دل میں یاد کرنا, تیری شان جذب ہے یہ, تیری بندہ پروری ہے, میری جان و دل کا تجھ کو ہم وقت یاد کرنا, کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو ملی کسی کو اختر, اسے آ گیا ہے جینا, اسے آ گیا ہے مرنا, کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو ملی کسی کو اختر, اسے آ گیا ہے جینا, اسے آ گیا ہے مرنا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم, أما بعد. As we have heard over and over again, this is actually just a bayan of Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Rahimahullah. Allah fill his qabr with nur and bless us with the barakat of the silsila. So this was one bayan of his, and whatever would play in his mind and would be his subject matter, then this would come out in the form of poetry and it would be delivered. And every person would listen to this poetry. It wasn't meant for any entertainment, but the objective was this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that there is great wisdom in poetry. Inna min ash-shi'ri hikmah. So from that many kinds of wisdoms which one might find, this is one great wisdom. many of the friends of Allah, the thoughts of Allah's love which would play in their minds and hearts, it would come out in the form of poetry. And from here we can learn many great lessons. In this one poem, he has explained to us that a person who wants Allah's love, what is the beginning point, what are the different stations a person will go through, and what is the most important thing to remember, and that is that it is the favor and the grace of Allah. So he starts by saying, he says, the sum total of my life, my life's ambition, purpose and objective, and the support of my life is this, that, oh Allah, I wish to live amongst your lovers, and I wish to die amongst your lovers. If I can get this here, my life objective is fulfilled, and I have support throughout my life, I don't need any further support. This is an indication that if one wishes to get the love of Allah, like anything else in deen, we have to learn. A person has to sit in the company of a person who is knowledgeable regarding that subject, and he will learn it. If a person wants to understand Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, Iman, Aqaid, you will have to learn it. If a person wants to understand how to perform Salah, you will have to learn it. If a person wants to understand what is Allah's love, you will have to learn it. And for this reason, there will be certain people Allah will choose and Allah will make them teachers of this subject. And their subject matter and their discussion will be this, how to acquire Allah's love and what are the stations in the road to Allah's love. So he says, from the very beginning I understand, if I wish my life to be successful, I need this, that I need to be in the company of your lovers, O Allah. My life and my death must be with them. Throughout my life, from the beginning till end, if I stay with this group of people, then this objective, my ambition in life will be fulfilled. A person wishes, you want anything in the world, you will go to people who have that commodity. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulphuri rahimahullah used to say this, we have heard it many times, but it is important to remind ourselves over and over. He used to say, a person wants milk, you'll go to the dairy. You want cotton, you want cloth, you'll go to the person selling cloth. Whatever kind of commodity you require, you'll go to the people who have that commodity in stock. Just like that, there a person who wants knowledge, you will have to go to the people of knowledge. A person who wants Allah's love, go to the people who have this love of Allah, and they will teach it to you. So he says, this is the sum total of my life. If I can stay in this group of, in this company with this group of people, my life ambition is fulfilled. Allah make it also the ambition of our life. The objective is not the man of Allah. The objective is to get Allah. But company has that effect. Any person who has company with a friend who always speaks about cars, love of cars comes in his heart. You have company of a friend who always speaks about sports, love of sports comes in the heart. You have company of a person who always speaks about Allah, Allah's love comes in the heart. You have company of a person who always speaks on sunnah, the desire to practice on sunnah comes in the heart. So he says, this is what I want, O Allah, to live amongst your lovers, to die amongst your lovers. I had no idea whatsoever that what is this love of yours and this pain of your love. Love comes with a pain, with it included in it also. That in this love there is enjoyment also. There is also that pain of separation. At every moment I can't be with my Allah. Allah is everywhere and Allah is beyond place and time. At every moment Allah's closeness is there. But in many occasions we distance ourselves from Allah. At that time when we feel that separation, that we feel we are slightly distanced from Allah, my Allah might be displeased with me, I disobeyed Him. At that time that little pain comes in the heart. And the true meeting and the closest meeting will be in this world. Allah gives us a chance, every salah we put our heads down in sajda. That is the closest we can come to Allah. And in akhirat when we will meet Allah, may Allah make that a happy meeting. So he said, I never knew what was this love of yours, O my Rabb. But then I was so fortunate that I met some people who had your love. I learned this love of yours from your lovers. And what I learned from your lovers, I learned how to die on your threshold. This dying could come in two references. It could either mean that when I pass away, I leave this world, at that time, Allah, your love must be in my heart. I learned from these people how to inculcate your love so it can be in my heart. Or it could also mean this year, it could mean that not real dying, but what it means that, oh Allah, that moment when I had to crush my desires. And I felt like as if everything in the world has come to an end. At that time, the difficulty that I had to face, that beautiful woman was walking in front and I wanted to look. One pop-up came on the screen and I wanted to click. And I thought to myself, I won't look at anything. I just want to see where it will go to. One evil message came from another woman and I wanted to respond to that message. A woman walked in the shop and I wanted to flirt with her. I had a good deal, but it was haram goods. I was with some friends and they were making ghibat and I knew it was wrong. But I just couldn't separate myself. But at that time I said, "My Allah, you watching me. I love you more than I love everything else." He said, "I learned this, how to die, how to crush my desires. To that extent that it almost felt like I was going to die, but I never died. This dying I learned, oh Allah, I learned how to give my life at your threshold from your level." They taught me this is the system, and that you will have to crush it, and they taught me how to crush it, and they taught me how to make it easy to crush it also. How to give my life at your threshold, I learned from them. He says, "Oh my Allah, it is only your favor upon me, and it is only the fruits of your help that this weak body, this useless body of mine, it was so fortunate and so lucky that this body was able to withhold your gham, that love of Allah, it was able to withhold it. Whereas our bodies could have never contained Allah's love. Our bodies were too weak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was too full of sin, too full of evil, too connected to this dunya. But Allah, out of His kindness, He said, "Oh Allah, when your favor was showered upon me, and when your help came to save me, at that time this weak body of mine was such that it managed to contain your love, it managed to take in your love." He says, "Oh Allah, it is your favor, it is your gift. And it was your attraction that pulled me towards you, oh Allah. Because of this year, I am able to now cry out in front of you at your doorstep." Meaning when a person goes into sajda now, and he is speaking to his Allah, and he cries, whether it be in tahajjud salah, salatul tawbah, or just like that a person puts his head down, and a person now, he takes his heart out, and he laments in front of Allah, and he speaks to Allah from his heart, and he admits all the evils he had done. He said, "Oh Allah, this chance and opportunity, it was your gift, that you gave me the chance, it was actually that you pulled me, that attraction of yours, oh Allah, which pulled me towards you. At that time, my heart moved in this direction, and I said, I need to make tawbah to my Allah. I need to make amends for all the wrong I had done towards my master, to my creator, to my beloved." He said, "Oh Allah, this crying over every sin of mine, this is the only way that I can compensate for the evil I have done. And it is then after that, this is what I could do, oh Allah, I could cry, I could beg you for forgiveness. After this year, it is the fruit of your mercy that you will forgive my sin. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna." What a beautiful dua Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, specifically to be recited on the night of Laylatul Qadr, but generally in our life. Oh Allah, you are that being who loves to erase our sins. Erase it from our record of deeds. Erase it from the memory of the angels. Erase it from the memory of the earth, of the ground. Erase it from Kiram and Katibin. Everywhere it is erased. You love it, oh Allah. And tuhibbul afwa, so to say, this is the hobby of Allah. Every person, Allah's hobby, Allah's love, Allah's favorite passion is this, to forgive my slaves and my servants. He said, "Oh Allah, out of your mercy it is that my sin will be forgiven." He said, "It is only possible, oh Allah, to cross this road to reach you." So we are on a road in this world. What this road is called, it's supposed to be as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight road. Where it is leading to, what is the objective of this road? Any person goes on any path, he knows where he needs to go. A person wants to go to Durban, so Durban is your destination. In the sirat al-mustaqim, our destination is Allah. He says, "Oh Allah, to pass this road, to cross this road, to reach my destination." He said, "It is only possible like this, that sometimes I will make shukr to you, sometimes I will make sabr. Sometimes on my heart I will have to squash my heart desires, and I will have to make the sabr. And sometimes, oh Allah, you'll give me the chance to make your ibadat and to make your zikr and to make dua to you, and I will make shukr over this year. It is only possible if I have these two combined, sabr and shukr. Sabr over difficulties is there also. Sabr on the commands of Allah. Sabr in giving up sins. All of the sabr combined together. And oh Allah, then to make your shukr. For the worldly favors Allah has given us, that also. But more than that, that Allah gave us iman. That Allah gave us Islam. That Allah made us the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more we will appreciate from Allah, the more Allah will give. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are appreciative and grateful, Allah says, "I will give you more." Every day may Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. Hazrat Murana would generally constantly encourage us. At least this much. Just for one moment think, "Oh Allah, you are so kind to me, you gave me iman. Oh Allah, you are so kind to me." Before that, Allah made us human beings, the best of His creation. Then Allah gave us iman. Then Allah made us from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And besides that, so many other favors of Allah. Allah covers our faults. Allah provides for us. Allah hasn't given rizq and rozi in the hands of any other being besides Him. And Allah is at every moment ready to forgive. How kind Allah is. Make shukr over this. He says, "Oh Allah, to live in your happiness and to die in your happiness." He said, "Oh Allah, this is only your favor upon my servitude." Meaning that, "Oh Allah, while I am living my life, when those enjoyable days of ibadat comes and I make your ibadat. And when those difficult days of controlling myself from sin comes and I have to stop myself and kill my desires." He said, "Oh Allah, this living in your love, in your happiness, and dying in your happiness." He says, "Oh Allah, this is only your favor upon this useless slave." He said, "This is the habit and it is the hobby of your lovers and it is their constant occupation. Sometimes they are crying, sometimes they are taking cruel sighs. Sometimes hot tears come down from the eyes, a person feels regret. Sometimes there is a cool sigh which comes out from the heart. Oh my Allah, I'm so happy with you. Sometimes we are very, very upset. What have we done to our relationship with Allah? At that time we feel that distance. Sometimes Allah draws us close to Him and we feel His closeness. Sometimes it will be crying. Sometimes just taking a cool sigh. Ah, what a wonderful life Allah has given me in His love." He says this is the sign of Allah's love. And this is the way to make sure we keep it with us. This is how to make sure that it stays with us. Sometimes the zikr of Allah must be on the tongue. Sometimes it must be in the heart. Sometimes a person will make zikr of Allah with his tongue. And then at other times he might be just lying down, resting. His tongue might be tired, his mind might be tired. His heart is working, it is speaking to Allah. He says, "Oh Allah, this is your method of attraction. And this is how you make our tarbiyat, how you train us and nurture us, oh Allah. On this road as we are going closer to Allah, Allah nurtures us in this way. Allah trains us in this way. Allah pulls us towards Him in this way. That, oh Allah, at every moment in my heart, my life and my heart are constantly in your remembrance." As I explained, this is all the different stages a person will go through. Sometimes we have to stop ourselves from sin. Sometimes we'll enjoy ibadat. Sometimes we will have to cry. Sometimes we will just be making shukr. Sabr, shukr, crying, happiness. All of this will come in this road. Oh Allah, this is your how you will nurture me. And the only way I can achieve this here is, oh Allah, I have to be throughout the time in your remembrance. And this remembrance of Allah is very easy. It just takes a short period of time, a little bit training. Make our zikr with our tongue daily. Whenever sin comes in front of us, make sure we stop it, remembering that Allah is watching. And a person who has this here, he is constantly in the remembrance of Allah. At every moment, whatever we are doing, be conscious. Am I doing it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of Allah? And this is 24 hours of the day we will be in the remembrance of Allah. He says finally, he says, Hazrat started off with this year, he has ended with this year. He said, in the beginning that the sum total of my life is to live with the lovers of Allah, to die with them. He says, "O Akhtar," referring to himself, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar rahimahullah. He says, that person who was so fortunate to receive the companionship of some friend of Allah, a person who had a true heart, not just a biological heart, but a heart which was filled with the love of Allah, that heart which was sacrificed for the creator of that heart. He says, any person who is so lucky to have received the companionship of such people who will teach us what is Allah's love, he has learned how to live, he has learned how to die. He has learned how to fulfill Allah's commands. He has learned to save himself from sin. He has learned how to pass this life correctly. He has learned how to leave this world correctly. May Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq, and bless us with Allah's great love.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting, just one very important point. We have discussed it various times at various places, but hopefully it will be beneficial for all of us. And that is, we were in Benoni this weekend. And Friday after lunch we were discussing, all ulama sitting there. And in that the discussion was that we find today We have problems. Really, the real problem is with ourselves, but we seldom acknowledge it. We like to say the problem is with our youth, with our children, with our human folk, with our young girls, etc. Whatever it is, but there is a problem. And the problem is that our minds, mindset, and our hearts have become like totally modern, if we call it, Western, liberal, free thinking, like that. And now whatever we want to sort out, whatever problems we come, whatever we want to do, we think from that place. With a modern mind, Western mind, for example, woman must wear parda. Now why? We're thinking from a Western point of view. Had it been an Islamic, we accept it wholeheartedly, Allah's command, and it's the end of the story. We don't need any proof, we don't need anything. But it is that everything, you have to keep a beard, why? When we think from a modern point of view, why must I keep a beard? What sense does it make? What's it going to benefit me? But if you think from an Islamic point of view, it's wholehearted, there is no question. Now that is unfortunately how it has become. Questions are asked because of this. Arguments are based on this. Everything is based on this. So now how to get that mind that it become Islamic? Our children, we have endless problems. We tell them, what's wrong with this? Everything they've got, why can't we do it? Everyone is doing it. What's wrong if we do it? Everything is like that because that mindset has become like that. So in that discussion then, it came that how to change that mindset, there is one way, and that is dua. We turn to Allah Ta'ala, which has come very clear in the hadith that Allah is muqallibul qulub, change of the heart. Musarriful qulub, Allah changes the heart. Allah's the hearts are between the two fingers of Rahman. Whichever way He turns them, they go. So the real thing is to go to the real source, the real channel, and from where this heart he has changed because of our gunas, because of our environment. We have become now like Western, liberal, modern, whatever we call it. So Allah has put that now on us. So we have to go back to Allah and ask Him to change it also. So when generally we accepted this, then Maulana Ilyas Patel of Durban, he explained one beautiful incident that proved this point very nicely. That one of the makatib which they are running, primary madrasas, one of the apas, the famous female teacher, she had phoned the supervisor that one student of ours, young boy, between 8 and 10, somewhere there, but I just can't keep him in the class. He's just too naughty, too rude, and he's terrible, I can't. So then he came there, and she explained that 3 days ago, he fussed to another boy that the boy nearly died. So dangerous it was. Yesterday, she said, the partition, he smashed the whole partition. And then, that was 2 days ago. Then yesterday, some other terrible thing he did again. So I just can't keep him in the class. It's out of the question. So they persuaded her, but she said, it's impossible. How must I teach? He's disturbing the whole class, upsetting the whole class. So they phoned his mother. She wasn't living very far. She came. And then when they told her, she started crying. She said, just this morning, the principal of the school called me in and told me, your son, we can't keep him. You must take him away. He's a big problem. We just can't keep him. We can't control him. He's right out of the question. And then now this year, just then, the female teacher teaching in the next class, there was just a partition in between. So she was hearing what was happening. So she came and she said, no problem, give this boy to me. I will control him. I'll look after him and I will sort him out. And she said, but on condition, she told the mother that I'll phone you every day tahajjud time, you also must get up. And tahajjud time, you also make dua. I will also make dua. We'll make our effort also, but we'll make dua also. And you promise you will do that. She agreed. Then after about 4 or 5 months, they had some, like a function or something, they entertained the students, they gave them burgers or whatever else. So the students sort of objected that, where's the cold drink? So this boy said, what are you asking for cold drink? Hey, you got burgers, make sugar on that. A complete change came in him. And now he was a great support for the ustad, for the teacher. So this is the power of dua, which we unfortunately, perhaps we are neglecting. Also I remember now Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adamallah for you, the Mahawish Shaykh, he says that for Maulana Mazhar Sahib, he says he held the ghilaf of the Kaaba and cried profusely for him and made dua for him, that Allah must accept him for the deen and etc. Now if we think with our children, like for example dua, when we, some pious person, some alim is there, we'll say make dua for him, that Allah make him pious. But when did we think for ourselves, really seriously make dua for our children also? And they are our heart, so close to us, but when did we really make dua for them? Complaints we have, they are like this, they do that, but dua, when did we make? We have got problems in our marriage. We have spoken to a lot of people, I've got this problem, I've got that, but when did we really make that dua? When did we make Salatul Haja? Namaz is also dua, Salat is dua. So when did we make really that dua? We hear that the Sahaba, we learn, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they needed something, then they hastened to the masjid, made dua. There wasn't flour or whatever else. They came home, problem solved. No, back to the masjid again. Again namaz. Did we tell today, once in our life, did such an occasion come to us? We made effort for hidayat of the people, but how much did we make that dua for at night? And we, in the Quran Sharif, both the efforts, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir's effort is also there, and Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, that effort is also there. So the dua effort, we'll give a bayan for an hour, but for dua, how much will we make? That subject on what we, in fact, one of the reasons for permissibility of loud dua after bayan, after namaz, preferable, you make soft dua, because everyone his own needs, what he's got, he will present them to Allah Ta'ala. But like after bayan, because actually it should be what you made bayan on, dua should be on that now. But many times we don't make dua on that also. We gave a bayan on sabr, but we don't make dua for sabr. So this dua aspect, we are perhaps very, every one of us thinks to ourselves, how much are we making dua? We all have got problems, but to sort the problems in a madrasa, school, the class environment, regularly you have problems with students. But how many of us did we really make dua for that student, take his name and make dua for him? To expel him is very easy, to punish him is very easy, to insult him, humiliate him is very easy, but to make the dua, how much did we do? So Allah give us tawfiq of this very, very strong weapon and very strong power which Allah, and free of charge. And wherever, if you can't, in fact we just mentioning to the friends that for dua normally, and the adab of dua, we pick up our hands. So in the picking up of the hands, if we pick up our hands, we will see in our right hand, the Arabic 18 is printed there. And in the left hand, the Arabic 81 is printed. And if you add the two, when you're putting your two hands together, it's 99. The 99 names of Allah Ta'ala. Which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, this names of Allah Ta'ala is like a person has got a keyboard. So when you put your two hands together, it's your keyboard. And now, whichever button you press, today we know you've got a button to press for that light to go on. You press the button, that light. You press this button, the gate opens. You press this button, and today technology has reached there, your stove will go on. And this will happen. All the things will happen. So this Allah gave us from before, right all the time. And it is right in front of us now. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, you, for example, you need shifa. So you read Ya Shafi, you have pressed that, you have clicked there. So now Allah's tajalli of Shifa will come on you. You need Rozi, Ya Razzaqo. Now the tajalli of Allah's Rozi will come. You need Hidayat, Ya Hadi. Now the tajalli of Hidayat will come. All Allah Ta'ala's great, great sifat which Allah has given everyone free of charge. And you just pick up your hands and you have got it there. And then how beautiful also that after dua, the adab of dua is you rub your hands on your face. And your face is the most honorable part of the body. So you rub the day, in other words, by your actions you are saying, by your actions you are saying, oh Allah, what I asked for, I got it. So, and Allah is that Kareem, Rahim being, that my banda say I got it and I still didn't give it to him. Like a child says to the father, to the mother, Jazakallah, you gave me this. And then their hearts melt also and they give it to the child. Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. All the mothers and fathers of the world together, what mercy they can have on the children, Allah's mercy is much more greater. So Allah Ta'ala gives it to that person in Arabic. So beautifully it is explained, وَجَدْنَا مَا طَلَبْنَا. What we asked for, we got it. When you are rubbing your hands, that we got what we asked for, we have got it already. So Allah Ta'ala will definitely give it. Shaykh Muhyiddin Ibn al-Arabi, rahmatullah alayh, he says a beautiful thing also. He says that whatever dua we make, actually Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts in our hearts what He wants to give us. Now when we are asking, actually Allah wanted to give that to you. Now He put it in your heart, you just make your application. I've already decided to give it, you just may put an application in. And it is yours already. So how beautifully Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives us. And this dua is a great, great power. And Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, in one beautiful bayan of it, how he explains, when we start with namaz, we raise our hands. So he says, this is the height of humility. I've surrendered myself. I surrender myself to Allah Ta'ala. The height of humility. When you fold your hands, he says, now I realize, just like a person who does mountain climbing. When he's climbing, he says, that is the height, the top of them. When you reach there, you see it's not the height. The height is still further. When you reach there, you see it's not the height. It's still further. All the time, it's just the goalpost is just moving. So yeah, you thought is the height of humility. But when you fold your hands, now this is the height of humility. Now you realize I wasn't at the height of humility. I was still far away from it. And it is for this reason Allah correct us all also. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh used to stress a lot on this, that before namaz starts, while iqama is being given takbir, many of us, we got the habit of folding our hands. He should say, you shouldn't do that. Because folding of the hands is only permissible in namaz and only for Allah. Even if you stand in front of your ustad, your sheikh, your father, don't fold your hands. This is the height of adab. That I've got nothing, I'm in front. So this is allowed only for Allah Ta'ala. Many times when we make bayan also, then also we fasten our hands and we are making bayan. That also should not be. You are only allowed to fasten hands, and we usually don't fasten it how we fasten it in namaz, casually. But also on the other hand, many of us in namaz also, our hands are just casual, instead of how it should be fastened. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, used to explain this. He should say, like we in the aeroplane we see, nowadays on the screen they put it, that the seat belt, how it must fit one into the other, and a neat leg. So if you go and see, this is also really a seat belt. You are fastening your seat belt when you fasten your hands in namaz. And the aeroplane is going to go up to about 10 kilometers, 8-10 kilometers international flight. More or less, that's the height they fly in. And yeah, you are going to Salatu Mi'rajul Mu'min, it is said. You're going to make Mi'raj. And if you haven't got your seat belt fastened, you will fall off. And therefore, we find most of us, we fall off. Our minds are off namaz. Because the seat belt is not fastened properly, we fell off the plane. And so our minds are not focused on Allah Ta'ala. And this is also one thing which we will do, it will help tremendously to keep our focus in namaz. Which generally, all of us, we have a problem with. We get our thoughts a little bit together, gone off again. So just to fasten the hands properly, but many of us in namaz, just casually also, they are just hanging down. Which is also showing sort of disrespect to Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, so now that height of respect and adab has come, total surrender to Allah Ta'ala. But soon we find you are gone in ruku, you are bowing down in front of Allah. You won't bow down in front of anyone else. Now you find that that also wasn't the height of that respect. Now it has gone more further. Now it is in ruku. Now the height of it has come. Then when you stand up again, put your hands on your side with respect, and now you go into sajda. Now you realize all that was nothing. Now the actual height of submission and the humiliation and humility has come now when you are on the ground in front of Allah Ta'ala. And that also, Allah give us tawfiq, sometimes we should make namaz on the sand, on the ground. We always make on the musalla. But sometimes make namaz on the sand also. That is the height of humility. Just read now that on one occasion, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he came out of the Haram of Medina Sharif, Madinatul Munawwara, Haram Sharif, and who was supposed to come pick him up every day they should come. But he wasn't there, it was a delay. So Hazrat Shaykh, then they had to wait a little. So Hazrat said, no problem, there's the shewa, the way of the buzurg. They don't fight, they don't complain, they don't scold. He said, he must have got late, so it's alright, we'll wait. Now he got a bit more later, and now the khadims, they are usually more worried than the person himself also. So they told Hazrat, he's not coming, so we'll sit down. So they put some musallas down. Hazrat said, remove the musalla. And he said, on the ground. So again they said, sit on the musalla. So Hazrat said, this is the ground of Medina Sharif, where we will get this ground. And to sit on the ground of Madinatul Munawwara, what an honor. So anyway, so now the person, when he makes sajda, now he had reached the height of all his humiliation. After namaz now, he picks up his hand. Now he's a beggar, open beggar. The whole world sees he's a beggar. He's the richest man in the world. But now he's begging now. So that is the height when in dua like this, this is a person who, and therefore also Allah give us tawfiq. In here also we are very neglectful. When we're making dua, we got our hands like this, or we got it like this, or different. The proper way is like a begging bowl we should make it. And this also, as Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, this begging bowl which Allah has given us, all our fingers are different sizes, because Allah wanted it. So open the fingers also, little gaps in between. And don't join the hands also, leave a little gap. So to say that my begging bowl is like a broken bowl. I'm such a beggar that I haven't got a proper bowl also to beg in. And oh Allah, if you will put little, it's going to fall through. So you put a lot in here. You fill it up and put a tremendous amount. And then Hazrat Arif Billah, Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahmatullah Ali, he explained a very beautiful point of dua also, that when you pick up your hands like this, you are making dua. And Allah is the King, He is everything. Allah, la ilaha illa hu, who is the be- Allah is creator, sustainer, everything. And in front of Him, it is like when you have turned to Him, He has given you the universe behind, below your hands. He has given you everything what you can imagine, it is now in your hands. The world is in my hands now. Not only the world, the whole universe. And saving ourselves from Jahannam, our progeny, getting ourselves admitted in Jannat, and comes in the hadith, when you ask for Jannatul Firdaus. And if we think, where are we fit to ask for Jannat? But you ask, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, now everything is under you, Allah gave you the control of it. All this is dua. One person, he is somebody going for travels, whether it was Makkah, Medina, Sharif, Umrah, asked him, what can we bring for you? What would you like? So he said, only du'as. He says, with du'as, everything gets done. Wherever you are, with du'a, everything. And no security can detect your du'a also. You go through the security checks or something, that you got dua with you, they can't check that also. And with dua, the actual dua, it's miracles that work with duas. But unfortunately, you are very unmindful of this great weapon, treasure, wealth which Allah Ta'ala has given us. And it is there for us to use. And it is free of charge. And what won't Allah Ta'ala give us on this duas? May Allah give us tawfiq that we make effort on this dua and use it and turn to Allah Ta'ala. And there are various ways also. And what were duas? If there are plenty dua kitabs that are written also, sunnah duas are the greatest. Quran Sharif duas, which alhamdulillah our elders, Allah reward them, in Hizbul Azam, in Munajat-e Maqbool, all these duas are there. And to make dua in the language of, in the words of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what greater thing. And who, and when and one greatest proof of Allah's Nabi being the Nabi of Allah is duas. Who could ever think of those duas which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made, and what duas? So Allah give us that. Then Buzurgs also have written duas. We are permitted to read that also, but never. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, one of the things when we make some other duas or any other wazifas, then what are the sunnahs, I then get left out. So we should never ever, while making wudu also, there are duas which buzurgs also have written, but it should not be at the cost of the sunnah dua. The sunnah dua must always be maintained. And with that, once we were in Mauritius, and Hazrat told me to make dua, and I made this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa awliya'uk. Hazrat immediately stopped me. He says, that you don't make in this dua. You want to make that dua, you do it separately. But the sunnah dua, just make it as it is, the sunnah dua. Don't add that. That is good. What all the awliya also ask for from you. But not in this dua. The dua of sunnah, only keep that sunnah dua. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to learn these duas also, and duas of the various occasions again. Those are also Allahu Akbar. Every dua of the various occasion. What beautiful dua. When we get up, Alhamdulillah Alladhi Ahyana. When we sleep, Allahumma Bismika Mutu Wa Ahya. And what great things are here. And Allah reward the ulama who have explained the great value and treasure which are in all these duas. So the two duas of the various occasions. When we leaving home also, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayr al-mawlaj, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an adilla aw udalla. What dua, what perfect dua. There couldn't be anything. What a treasure Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us. And then again, for ittiba'i sunnah, the reward for that again is so great. And then what Allah Ta'ala will give on that, on the dua also, and the reward of it, that also will be so great. Another point that comes to mind, which is inshallah will be very beneficial for us all also. We keep on learning, and what we learn, we try to share with our friends. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written that when we have got a certain bad habit, guna, or certain good quality we want to imbibe and bring within ourselves, or we got some bad habit which we want to get rid of. So the beautiful 3-point plan Hazrat has shown. The one is to read the kitabs on the Sawanih, the life stories, biographies of our Buzurgani Deen. There are different aspects of this. One is Tanzilur Rahmah in the Zikri Salihin. Whenever the Salihin are mentioned, Allah's Rahmah just abounds immediately. Just talking, Fadlan an Wujudihim. When they themselves are present, then what to say? Just the kitabs have got this effect. When you're reading the kitab, Allah give us all tawfiq. We try and keep always the kitab of some of our elders, our pious predecessors, and we study them. So just by having that, Allah's rahmat comes down. Then when we read the kitab and we see what their lives were, how they were stringent, strong, very strict on the sunnah, how they wouldn't give up a sunnah in any way whatsoever. And that again will have an effect on us. So tremendous effect, which is a great thing to change our lives, to correct our lives. Then together with that, that sin that we want to give up, that wrong that we want to give up, as the ulama, all the warnings which have come in Quran and Hadith with regard to that sin, keep it in front of us and go through it again. Reminder. Like for example, many people say, Fajr we can't get up. One good remedy for that is give the person all the virtues of Fajr. A person who makes Fajr with Jamaat, person who gets, and tell him to read it every day. That enthusiasm, that desire, well, it takes time, but it will develop then on its own. So all the warnings of that sin, when we keep on reading it, like with the guna of the eyes, that steel rods, burning steel rods will be pierced into the eyes. Lot of other warnings which are given, very, very frightening warning. A person reads them all the time. If it's some good we want to bring into us, like Fajr, we are not managing to get up, or we're not making it with Jamaat, see the virtues of making Fajr. Read them regularly. This will encourage us. So these two things. Then when the temptation comes of that sin, now you are geared up, you are strong. Now just be strong. He says, you do this, you'll see that sin goes out of your life. That good deed, now that little still it will come, Fajr, you don't feel like getting up. But think of that virtue and you get up. So the lives of our elders, we study them. And then secondly, that we see the virtues or the wa'id, the warnings with regard to that. And then whenever that occasion, whatever it is, comes, be a little, take your courage. Don't be so weak and just then give up. Take your courage and do it. Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and for all the righteousness and good things to come into our lives, inshallah. Just read one point here. There is a bit of a long part. What this person is writing, these are letters that were written to the Sheikh, which is a common thing for when a person wants to make his Islah. Then whatever questions he's got, he asks for the remedies. So here he says that for quite some time he's coming to Hazrat, and because of which he finds a great love of Hazrat, his Sheikh, in his heart also. And for a number of years, 4 years that he has been coming, and he has made ba'at, but he says one thing is that I just can't seem to understand. I'm coming regularly, everything. And that is that when I come from home, I think I will ask Hazrat about this. And the next I see, Hazrat made bayan without me asking about it. Bayan is made about that. And many other things also, whatever questions I have, then the answers just come. So he wants to know that how is this. Then one particular, he says, just now I came and I thought I will ask Hazrat that he must make bayan how to make namaz according to sunnah. The sunnah way of making the postures of namaz, sunnah. And Hazrat made bayan on this. So he asked, now how is this happening? That every time like this here. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali replied and told him, کہ جس شخص کو حق تعالی تربیت کرنے کا شرف اپنی رحمت سے عطا فرماتے ہیں, whose تربیت and whose life Allah wants to correct, then Allah Ta'ala makes it that Allah joins him, and wherever he will go, to his Shaykh's Majlis particularly, or even other ulama's bayans he will go, when he is sincere, he wants his Islah, he will find that Allah will put that subject, and he will get his answers. And this we find very common. How many of our friends, we are absolutely nothing, but many friends said, all my questions have been answered. Once we went to Malawi, and in Limbi, where Maulana Ahmad is there, so he told the Juma namaz, the Juma bayan we made, and made on the fazail of Juma, aspects of Juma. So after namaz, he said, I was just going to tell one of our younger alims, he's a senior alim there, that prepare a whole booklet on the fazail of Juma. And he said, yeah, you gave it to us all in a nutshell. So like this, Allah Ta'ala makes it like that. That when a person has got that talab in him, like it is said that a baby, when it wants milk, the milk gets formed in the breast of the mother. And then Allah the mother. And also, when Allah wants to make the Islah of a person, then Allah brings him to such a gathering. So this coming is also proof that a person wants his Islah. And then as a person listens, Allah Ta'ala makes it possible. And he gets whatever the questions he had, they get answered. Allah give us tawfiq to make dua, to realize the power of dua, and what great. And for dua also, a person needs strength in him. If a person is sleepy, he's making dua. What dua? A person is tired and he's making dua. He's weak, he's making... You need strength. For tilawat of Quran also, for zikrullah, to concentrate on Allah, we need a lot of stamina from inside. It's not just like a weak person, you need the strength. But, and this, like commonly it is said, one argument that is raised that our youth, that they have to give off their stamina. They have to play sports. You have to give them a chance. No, it must be directed towards namaz, for concentration in namaz and reading. That stamina, let it come out here. Yeah. Let it come out in dua. It doesn't have to come out in sports. It doesn't have to come out in other things. It must come out in dua. So that stamina, our buzurgs, all of them practically, they should eat food that used to give them a lot of strength. And where should they take it out? In the zikr of Allah, in du'as, tilawat, they should take out that. So that is where it has to come out, not in sports and all the chill off here and cool off here and all that. No, it has to come out here in the du'a, in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah give us all the strength.